ॐ अज्ञानतिमिरान्धस्य ज्ञानञ्जनशलाकया चक्षुर्मिलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः। श्रीचैतन्यमनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपकदा मह्यं ददाति स्वपदान्तिकम्। वन्देऽहं श्रीगुरोः श्रीयुतापदकमलं श्रीगुरुन् वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपं सागरजातं सहगणा रघुनाथान्वितं तं सजीवं साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजनसहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधाकृष्णपादान् सहगणा ललिता श्रीविशाखान्वितांश्च। हे कृष्णकरुणा सिन्धो दीनबन्धो जगत्पते गोपेश गोपिका कांत राधाकांत नमस्तुते। तप्तकाञ्चन गौरांगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि श्रीहरिप्रिये। वाञ्छाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपा सिन्धुभ्यैव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः। जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौरभक्तवृंद। हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। So we are gathered together here to confer the holy name of the Lord, which has been only source for our spiritualization of our existence. This process is so perfect that by imparting the holy name in the heart of a devotee, which is the very foundation of the spiritual energy which is coming, springing from one's own heart, it becomes a very natural and perfect occasion to fulfill the desire of the soul. The fulfillment comes primarily in purification and then realizing one's own self and one's eternal occupational duty. The purification is, however, inconceivable, because the nature of the spiritual cannot be conceived. Our conception in the material world is also very much baffling, but yet we try to put everything into a perfect understanding, but our senses fail us because they are imperfect. So how to realize the spiritual conceptions, the spiritual purification, which is totally beyond the capacity of a human mind. But nonetheless, the arguments of Lord Shri Krishna in Bhagavad Gita to Arjuna to emphasize his spiritual reality over his ignorance is very much profound. And when one tries to understand and follow in a very systematic way, then one can get the desired result. It is said that a servant cannot understand the efficacy and the unlimitedness of his master unless and until he serves the master without any of his misconception. According to the terms, he tries to please his master. Because the master is pleased, he can reveal out of his own accord the secrets of his success, of his majesty, or whatever it is. The Atah Krishnasya Namadina Bhavit Grahyam Indriyai. Krishnasya Nama is not able to be perceived through our blunt senses. Our blunt senses have no capacity to understand. But sevanam mukhihi jihvado, if we employ our senses, starting from the tongue, swayam spuratyam eva adhyan, the holy name will bestow the blessings so in such a way that they will be revealed to him on its own accord. It also says that Lord Shri Krishna is asamaurdhva, nobody is equal to or greater than him. But his energies are so variegated that they automatically serve him by knowing his nature. Because his energies are no different than Krishna. So here the energy, the spiritual energy, is to be received through the proper commitment in front of the Lord, fire sacrifice, the devotees, and the spiritual master, Srila Prabhupada, in his disciplic succession. One should receive, that is a bona fide way, an honest way to receive the holy name. So, such commitment may fructify into a service attitude that will be revealed on its own accord. As much as in our seriousness we try to make an effort, in that much reciprocation, the secrets of such spiritual energy will be revealed. Sevanam mukhehi jivado swayam spuratyam eva adhya. Swayam spuratyam eva adhya means automatically the holy name will reveal its majesty to the chanter, the servant. So, however, we must chant the holy name in a very humble way to serve the Lord. So, Lord Krishna may be attracted. When we call ordinary people by name, we also get an appropriate reciprocation in the feeling we call, and in the seriousness we call him. So, in the same way, Lord Krishna will be also reciprocating through his holy name, and it will be revealed automatically in that proportion to the serving, the servant of the holy name. So, in this way, only one can get the potency of the Lord. This potency will create aspiration to know more and more about the unfathomable secrets of the holy name. Unfathomable. For ordinary mind, one cannot conceive. But it is said that one serves so deeply in meditative mood, then he can dive deep into the holy name. So, eventually, the holy name will fructify in the formation of the Lord. The form of the Lord will be revealed. Further, the divine qualities will be revealed, and at last, one will be able to enter into that spiritual realm of Krishna's intricate activities will be revealed to him. So, Nama Rupa Guna Leela is being the progressive chart that one must look into, then how much progress one can get. It's simply a matter of reciprocation according to our sincerity. But nonetheless, the disciple gets the chance to be under a discipline that will be very securely taking with proper guidance and proper cultivation of the knowledge, proper association, and proper removal of the unwanted thing that has been harboring in our minds, in our activities, in our habits, and so many things that we carefully been ridden like weeds. The weeds are to be removed. One has to be very careful in removing the weeds which are growing around, even unknowingly. So, the system that Srila Prabhupada employed is both Bhagavad Vidhi and Pancharatriki Vidhi. Bhagavad Vidhi will take care of the spiritual aspect, and Pancharatriki Vidhi will take care of the discipline. So, in this way, the accomplishment of our vows will be fructified, you know. So, when we are talking of the most important aspect of removing the weeds, anartha nivritti, that will culminate into nishtha, unshakable faith, that is a very important step one has to take. If one is neglectful, then bahu janma yadi kare shravana kirtana tabunatama paaye krishna pade prema dhana. If one keeps on chanting and chanting and chanting after many, many, many lives, yet he will not have a tinge of love of God had ever invoked in his heart. You know. It is said that anartha nivritti in the careless mind, you know, gives rise to the fruit of that activity called aparadhas. Aparadhas are fructifying from anarthas. It is not that accidentally we can create an aparadh. But the aparadh, in terms of the spiritual process, and the foundation is the holy name, the holy name becomes so sensitive that it takes upon his head all the aparadhas. So one has to be very careful in experimenting with a devotee, or the one who chants the holy name, or just taking the holy name in a very casual way without much sincerity towards the purpose in first place that the holy name is being taken. So, we generally reiterate the 10 offenses in order to familiarize the most important, the impeding causes in our progress. They impede the progress of a devotee. One of the greatest offenses, the very first, is very threatening to the life of devotion itself. And that is called Vaishnava Aparad. Vaishnava Aparad means it contains devotee, the deity of Lord Vishnu, and the holy name of Lord Vishnu, all the three. It affects, it is said that one should not criticize a devotee who has been glorifying the holy name of the Lord, and who has been preaching all around, especially Mahabhagavata ki ninda karna. That is one understanding. But how do we know who is a Mahabhagavata? Who is the great devotee? So the baseline Haridas Thakur is keeping the bottom line, what they call, that one who is preaching the glories of the name is a Mahabhagavat. Because Krishna Shakti Vinana hi Tara Pravartan. Without the potency of the Lord, one cannot preach. One cannot spread the holy name. Generally, after initiation, all these devotees who are initiated, they have the first and foremost thing in the mind. They start preaching and inducing Krishna consciousness into others, those who are not practicing. And they get the result. But they induce, they invoke, they inspire, they become more and more enlightened by reciprocating from the holy name. So how come anybody, even one who may be in a neophyte state, but he is a preacher to some ignorant section, and he is successful, can be criticized? So this is very serious. Generally, an example is given of Ambarish Maharaj, who has been offended by Durasa Muni. But when we see, it is one of the highest example. Ambarish Maharaj was a Mahabhagavati, right? And Durasa Muni was also a Mahamuni. A Muni cannot be considered a devotee unless and until he has taken shelter of a devotee or the Lord directly through the devotee. Through the devotee means indirect. Lord Krishna doesn't accept devotion of anybody without the medium, because he wants to make sure the category of a devotee. So therefore one has to approach through a devotee to Lord Krishna. And Krishna's definition of a devotee is that one who calls himself devotee of him is not his devotee, but one who is a devotee of the devotee is the devotee. That is Krishna's definition of an acceptance of a devotee. So we have to be introduced by the devotee. And here a neophyte devotee is also going to preach, inspired to and become instrument to inspire somebody. So Haridas Thakur will go beyond that. Anybody who has chanted the holy name once cannot be criticized, because the potential fructification of that holy name is there, and it will take its own accord. But it doesn't mean we have a willful indulgence to criticize somebody. No way. So if this sensitivity and can be meditated upon, one can easily prevent on offending anybody. So we see that on one behalf we are given a very exalted example. So somebody when he says, oh, I have offended a neophyte devotee, what's the big deal? But still they are taking a great, great chance to be infected with the offense. If ordinary viruses are instrumental to cause a big destruction within the body, what to speak of this offending viruses of malice or irsha or what we call enviousness. That has actually been the cause of our fall down from the very beginning, from the platform of spiritual life. The virus of enviousness is very, very detrimental. So naturally, a person of a positive inclination to chant even once cannot be offended. Therefore, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu examined the whole sequential aspect, how to curb this offense. If you want to curb something negative, you must introduce positive. You can't make a vacuum first, but what is the position? Train up yourself in the humility. What are the parameters of humility? Pranadapi shunichena parorapi shahishana amanina manadena kirtanya sadahari. So on an administrative level, when anything happens, can't criticize anybody, but from that beginning foundation of our practices, just tolerate the inconvenience. Prabhu, if you want to become a devotee, you have to give up the right of complaints. That is a requirement. And try to tolerate the inconvenience. Otherwise also we are tolerating inconveniences. But for petty benefits, we can tolerate the inconveniences at our job. If we say something, we may be given, a firing letter to quit the job. And it's a loss. But here is a spiritual loss that is very, very precious to be given up. And who would trade in if one knows the efficacy of the holy name? So, the first and foremost offense is to blaspheme the devotee who has given his life for propagation of the holy name of the Lord. Never think of it, never put out in the form of a verb, never execute it. Always remain fearful. Now, that's it. It's enough is enough. The second offense is to consider the names of Lord Shiva or Lord Brahma to be equal to or independent of the name of Lord Vishnu. Yastu Narayanam Devam Brahma Rudradi Devatam Samatvena Vikheta Sapakandi Bhavidruvam. Hypocrite. That's all right. That's all right. Pakan means a hypocrisy. There is one God, and He has been spelled out by the name of Lord Krishna. But God's tattva can expand, and that is called Vishnu tattva. And there are multiple expansions, not one. And all the expansions come from the one source. So therefore, the acharyas have delineated that monotheistic principle of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is in our Shastra. So, you should know who calls. One should not get confused. There is one singular personality. Even Lord, even Gandhi, when he wrote the commentary on Bhagavad Gita, it is very easy to understand that when we say we have a father, and father is a father, so ultimately there must be a father of the mankind. That is God. But why only mankind? Sarva yonishu kaunteyam murtayanti sambhavanti ja tasham mahat yonir aham bija pradapita. The seed given father is one. There cannot be many. Just like we as an individual have capacity to expand, even bodily, even within the body we are expanding in the young age. The growth, what is growth? It's an expansion. One entity expands into many. That experience we have. So there must be one entity of the supreme nature who expands into many. Eko bahushyam. One manifest in many. Right? So, where to pinpoint that one? Huh? That is the business of the Shastra, and they pinpointed it. But, because the material world he also created along with the spiritual world which was eternal, and this creation is for the time being and revolving, coming and going nature. So, suppose when you start revolving, I mean, either by on the merry-go-around or somewhere, your head will spin. And when your head spins, you forget. Oh, where I am. You lose your balance. You lose everything. The spinning nature. So, when a living entity is born, he grows, he matures, he produces byproduct, he dwindles and disappears, is all again repeated over and over. So, this is called samsara. In samsara, we forget. Right? When your head spins around, you will forget. So, when are we going to stop spinning? Everybody wants, oh, I cannot stay on this merry-go-round for a long time. Come on. Have you seen kids start crying when they can't tolerate? So, in the same way, it is so natural. So, there is one source of everything. And it is proven through philosophy. Philosophy is expounding the absolute truth of that one, upon which his expounded truths are dependent upon. So we may call it dependent truth. Those who are materialists, they see sun god. Sun, alright. When sun rays come on the earth, the plants do photosynthesis and they produce food, and that starts our food chain. The little bugs in the water, called phytoplankton, they produce the food, so their bodies are eaten up by zooplanktons, and zooplanktons are eaten up by the fish, and fish is eaten up by men, and men is eaten up by death. And this way food chain goes on and on and on. But what about the spiritual being that animates the body? Nobody considers that. They think they are the bodies and foolishness. So, when everything has one source, what is the nature of that source? It is not material. It is spiritual. The spiritual nature is in every living entity because it's said to be part and parcel. So therefore, he has an obligation to find out the source. You cannot find out the source of bodies. Darwin wanted to think these bodily changes there must be coming from one body to another. No. There are no missing links. Right? Darwin's father may be monkey, but my father was not a monkey. That's what Srila Prabhupada said. So we kick on the face of Darwin to deny his theory. Rather, the consciousness that is most important, vital, it belongs to the soul, the spiritual nature. And he has been evolved by knowledge acquisition, acquisition of the knowledge. But consciousness has only one and one important task. Because we are conscious, we are knowledge acquiring, acquisition of the knowledge. So in our capacity of acquisition of knowledge, our evolution depends. The conscious evolution is very important. So when we think only on the spiritual aspect of consciousness, then it pinpoints to one entity, and that is Krishna. Then Krishna is perfect and complete, from whom everything emanates is also perfect and complete. Even after producing so many perfect and complete units, he remains perfect and complete unit in himself. And we can see his character of 64 excellencies the acharyas have found. And by the explanation through the philosophical method, the proof is provided. The third offense is to disobey the orders of spiritual master. Spiritual master has no other business but to reveal the absolute truth, personality of Godhead through the proper process that has been given. So his first and foremost duty is to impart the transcendental knowledge. Transcendental knowledge of the Lord who is revealing himself in Bhagavad Gita, the same has to be imparted in the disciples. And remove all his doubts and misconception on that basis. As Krishna says, in that methodology we have to understand and perceive. And unless and until one is totally convinced, then spiritual master's nature is to go after and make him. Otherwise, the problem will not be solved. So, because the spiritual master is expected to realize the truth, therefore he can impart the truth to his disciples. Tadviddhi pranivatena pariprashtena sevaya upadekshanti tam jnanam jnanina tattva darshina. Upadekshanti. He will impart you the knowledge because he has seen the truth, he has experienced the truth, he can explain the truth in your capacity to make you understand properly. So that becomes your foundation of building spiritual life. The fourth offense is to consider the Vedic literature or literature in pursuance of the Vedic version and blaspheme way. If you want to take the resources of this knowledge, the Vedic authority is the ultimate authority. No wonder Vedas have been also evolved according to the time, and Vyasadeva saw the anomaly in the people in general, especially for Kali Yuga. Therefore, he divided into four, one into four. But still, he saw the complicacy and he put up supplementary to the Vedas called Upanishads and Samhitas, Itihasas, and then Puranas. So, in each and every way, even he used some allegorical description and historical records of the different incarnations and devotees who took part in it and explained in according to three particular times or millenniums, you know, Satya, Trita, Dwapar. In Kali Yuga, these explanations have been again not recompiled, but condensed in the transcendental aspect on the all-conclusive way in Srimad Bhagavatam. So that was the 18th Purana was done after his maturity. because all others are filled with intricate methodologies to fulfill the desire of man. But that was not the aim of Vedas. The aim is to know. Krishna reveals this aim. Sarvasya chaham radisinna visto mattah smritir gnana pohram cha vedeshu sarvesu aham eva vidya. He said, out of all the Vedas, I am supposed to be known. So, Krishna must be hidden. Right? Otherwise, to know Krishna, why everything has been written? Because we are dull-headed. We are simply covered with material modes of the nature. Sattva gun, rajogun and tamogun. So according to the predominance of those guns, our intelligence is also affected. So therefore Vyasadeva have to divide so many things for sattviki people, so many things for rajasic people, so many things for tamasic people. The tamasic will adhere to tantrics, you know, and other processes. Rajasic will go for, which kind of Puranas? Rajasic Puranas, where lot of strife between demigods and demons would be there. But besides that, Satviki Puranas are only adhered by those who are in mode of goodness. So, in this way, Vedic literature have been proliferating for fulfillment of material desires of the three modes of material nature. And but Krishna was still hidden. So in all supplementary to Vedas, none of the Upanishads express about the Supreme Person, except Ishopanishad. Therefore, Prabhupada wrote, translated Ishopanishad, because that was the one theistic nature on the form of the Lord. Right? That was the foundation, that Upanishads are also coming closer to reveal the nature of the personality of Godhead. So, that aspect should be appreciated. So in this way, Vedic literatures have been meant for knowing Krishna. That is the conclusion of the Vedas. Vedaischa sarvaihi aham eva vedya. Out of all the Vedic literatures, I am to be known. So Krishna remains secret. Vedanta Krit, he says, I compile and condense all these formulas of the Vedas into Vedanta Sutras. Therefore, I am Vedanta Krit. Vedvid. I am the origin person who imparted this Vedic knowledge in the heart of Brahma. Tene Brahma Radaya Adhikavene. Even this knowledge, when it was imparted in the heart of Brahma, even the demigods started bewildering about it. So, what to speak of us? Vedic conclusion are being revealed through Lord Krishna's teachings. So, Vedvid, he is called, nobody knows better Veda than Lord Krishna. Vedanta with Ved with Chaham. Sir, everything. I am the one. I am the target. So, therefore, we cannot blaspheme the Vedic authority. Oh, because I have no time in Kali Yuga. Where is the time to read all this? It doesn't mean that you can't do, therefore, you simply remain unfortunate. No, Krishna devises to make us fortunate through the medium of Guru. Then he becomes his representative and comes forward to make us fortune. make us fortunate. The fifth offense is to consider chanting of Hare Krishna Maha Mantra to be imagination. Is there anybody who is imaginating chanting? If you are a practitioner, can you have simply chanting is an imagination belief? Why? Pratyakshavagamam dharmyam susukham kartam avyayam. Krishna doesn't leave any excuse that you will not be able to perceive the proof which is happening right before your eyes. Means your purificatory progress will be revealed. So it's called pratyaksha avagamam. Avagamam means if you systematically perform this practice, it will start manifesting the result. So sukham, the nature of this performance is pleasure giving. Can you get pleasure by imagining? Must be pagal. If one thinks that he can get pleasure simply by thinking, you must understand that he's crazy, number one. Right? So, susukam and kartum avyayam. The third thing is to be measured is the result is inexhaustible. It stores as a permanent impression in your heart. That simply you have no choice but to hanker more and more. That's why Haridas Thakur was telling that if somebody has chanted, even mistakenly, the holy name, the holy name is not going to give him one. The holy name will hold on to the tail and drag him closer to him. Once you have even practiced and then given up by any misunderstanding of or enviousness, Prabhupada would always say, I pray to Krishna that, he was such a good boy. Anyway, he went, he will come back soon. He will come back. And Prabhupada's feelings of spiritual welfare for his wayward child was also fructifying, that so many devotees saw the true nature of the love in Srila Prabhupada. Anyway, the sixth offense is to give some mundane interpretation to the holy name of the Lord. Mundane interpretation. What is mundane? Means material. One who tries to interpret the holy name in context to material nature. Material nature. He doesn't know the spiritual efficacy of the holy name, but because he might have been learned in Sanskrit or this or that, so out of false ego he start giving some different nomenclature, different definitions. That doesn't mean that he is free from the effect of three modes of material nature. His explanation or interpretation would be dealing with three modes of material nature. So therefore it's an offense. Holy name is that pure. If it is holy, then it will make us holy. That is a proposal. And simply by chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare, becomes Surit Satam. Surit Satam. Surit means well-wisher, Satam means purified. Anybody who chants, Shonatam, Svakatam, Krishna, Punya, Shavana, Kirtana, Radayantascha, Ahya Badrani, Vidunoti, Surit Satam. Simply by hearing process, one becomes purified. That is the power of the holy name. But when one not simply hears, but chants and hears, that is said, immediately, soon, Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya. If one performs this hearing and chanting processes regularly, then immediately, it doesn't take much time. He says immediately, one becomes purified. So therefore we say, Nityam means every day 16. Don't chant every day without fixing the number. Chant exactly the same number. Alright? That's called Nityam. Make it a vow. 16 rounds. Prabhupada says, I need 2 hours so you can become properly purified. Prabhupada says 2 hours. But his spiritual master says, no, chant for 8 hours. Because you don't have anything to do. You don't have to work. You don't have any time to set off. Okay. Chant for 8 hours, minimum. So poor guy will keep on chanting, chanting, chanting. But he was able to purify. Well, our Prabhupada, he says 2 hours minimum used for chanting, means 16 rounds of Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Ram, 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 Hare Hare. And rest of the 8 hours work in that consciousness. See, spiritual atmosphere that was created in your being about this chanting will tell you, dictate you, that you have to also perform this 8 hours of service to please Krishna. So Prabhupada was tricky to make us 10-hour chanting. But he made adjustment in such a way, that we must engage in Krishna's service this way. So anything can be made Krishna's service. But 2 hour chanting is, the holy name directly for 2 hours and 8 hours serving, but utilize all that energy you spent in 8 hours through the remembrance that this source of energy was Krishna. So you must utilize every speck of that energy you are spending in Krishna consciousness. That is a very, very profound process that Srila Prabhupada did it. Alright? So, chanting has been the first and foremost important thing. The seventh offense has been that to commit sinful activity on the strength of the holy name. Yet our previous habits allure us. Our ignorance has not been removed. Our false ego is not smashed. So we keep on harboring certain anarthas in our life. Right? So, the holy name will be deliberately made defunct by imposing sinful activities on our purificatory processes. No. One should become sensitive that if holy name has helped you to come out from the mode of ignorance and put you on the threshold of sattva guna, and that will lead to the transcendental mode to realize Krishna, try to increase that valued treasure. You will become rich. not miser. Because all other bodily functions are going to come in a very disciplined way, in a very regulatory way, as the Varnashram suggests, again that will be used for pleasing Krishna. So all our activities, they can be carried out without any hindrance. Holy name is not hindering. So why by ignorance commit sinful activities and put that hindrance in the progress of the holy name? Holy name is more benevolent, while the tinge of enviousness to Krishna is then imposed on the holy name. That is called sinful activity being carried, even though one is chanting. But regardless, the power of the holy name will subdue. Alright? So, never be afraid, but have confidence. Who wins the race? Slow and steady. We have to perceive the efficacy of the holy name and persevere for the results. The results are that we get immediately purified. Right? Kshipram bhavati dharmatma. Immediately one becomes righteous. Who? Even however abominable activities one might have performed. But because he is not giving up the process, he is rightly situated. And soon he will become righteous. That is the power Lord Krishna gives. Name bhakta pranashyati. So, but one should not deliberately try to mess up with the life. That is not intelligence. One may be called crazy again after the sense gratification, you know, that he cannot whimsically control anybody. Who cannot control others? Who cannot control others? One who cannot control himself, cannot control others. So, we have to be very careful that do not deliberately commit sinful activities as if you are in charge, you are in control. Eighth offense is to consider chanting of Hare Krishna Mahamantra to be a ritualistic activities offered in the Vedas as Karmakanda. We are not performers of Karmakanda. We are not anticipating any temporary material benefits out of chanting of Hare Krishna. In Karmakanda, you invoke the devatas to fulfill your desires. We are not invoking devatas here to fulfill our desires. We are not invoking the Supreme Personality of Godhead to fulfill our material desires by chanting Hare Krishna. Rather, it is completely opposite. We are committing ourselves to refrain from four sinful activities. We are committing that we will chant regularly, you know, 16 rounds every day. It's a sacrifice. Do you think Karmakanda is called sacrifice? It is not selfish. It is selfish and we are sacrificing somebody else. Actually, we are invoking Devta. To fulfill that desire. So, we try to put some oblation. We give in some Mahaprasad. Okay, my dear Lord, Devata, Mr. Such and Such, come and take your share, but give me this much in return. That is Karmakanda. Krishna will voluntarily bestow love upon the one who is selflessly working. Simply chant Hare Krishna to become a selfless lover of Krishna. Offense number 9 is to instruct a faithless person about the glories of the holy name. Right? We tell and chant offense within the jurisdiction of the temple. We don't tell outside in a public meeting. Who knows? But here, we are dead sure that everybody is faithful. But the faithful has to be more careful in order to prevent committing offense. That's why we have to reiterate. We have to explain so they can understand for definite to refrain from such offense. Don't waste Krishna's energy behind the faithless people. You know, you can't sow the seeds on a rocky soil. It's a useless. Krishna is precious, His holy name is precious. A sincere devotee is supposed to be introspective and hide 4 things. He should hide the holy name he is receiving from the Guru. He should hide his japamala. He should hide the deity of the Lord who becomes one's own Ishtadeva. Right? And one should hide Guru himself. Never try to sell your Guru. But you need to glorify the efficiency of the holy name. You should declare. But such declaration is also to be done amongst the devotees, amongst the faithful. Right? So, number 10 offense is that even after understanding the efficacy of the holy name, the glories of the holy name, how it acts, how it helped us, and we try to keep material attachment simultaneously. It means we are half cooking. You are not fully cooking up the whole process. Material attachment are like pebbles or stones in our food. Suppose if you take a very nice sweet rice bowl, but somehow the sand is mixed in, you will get the taste, but you won't enjoy, right? The sandy sweet rice, the taste is there but cannot be relished. So, similarly, if we are getting purified and making ourselves dirty by the attachment of the worldly mindedness, then what happens? Shaucha kunjaravat, as if we are taking a very good bath and clean water of the holy name, and then they like elephant come out on the soil and collect the dust and sprinkle on it, as if he's sprinkling the puff powder. No, that is making oneself more dirty. So, material attachment sprinkles dust on us. So, we have to refrain. It means we don't have to become completely pauper. No. act in such a way that body and soul has to be maintained, but at the same time, be resourceful by your own education and own proclivity to grow assets for the Lord in His service. So you remain in your occupation also, but simultaneously occupation of the soul will be continued. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, sthane sthita. Stay wherever you are, in whichever position and whichever activities you have been. But sruti gata, become conversant with the conclusion of Vedic Shastra. Shruti gataam tanu vang manubhi, by mind, words and activities. Become completely tuned up about the verdict of Shastra. So then, that's how these 10 offenses are being explained. Except for the first offense, the Holy Name will take care of the all offenses, so they will continue. But the first offense, Holy Name cannot forgive, not the Lord can forgive. Who can forgive? Only the devotees can forgive. Right? So, if devotee has been offended, then we have to beg forgiveness immediately. If we offended devotee face to face, then beg the forgiveness. If we offend a devotee in front of somebody else, and if that offended devotee is not there, but still you have to beg the offense to the one who you are indicating the offense, I'm sorry. But if there is nobody to offend, and yet you think of some offense, then you pray to Krishna to absolve you. You don't have to, because nobody knows. So in this way, you have to prepare your life for full protection of your devotion. Refrain from 10 offenses, right? You know, refrain from four forbidden things. So I'm going to ask you and call you. Alright. Puja, pay obeisances again to the deity, Srila Prabhupada, and you can pay obeisances on this side, and I will go. You can also get up and pay obeisances. Right. You promised to chant 16 rounds without fail. What are the four regulatory principles? Very good. So, Krishna will bless you all the way. Now, I'm giving you the name. Pati Prana Devi Dasi. Radharani. Radharani's name is Pati Prana Devi Dasi. Right? So, she is getting Radharani's name. Oh, Kavita. So you also promised to chant 16 rounds? Yeah. Sometimes I do say, chant 25 on Ekadashi. I'm a little greedy. Because I also need some help. Alright. So, what are the four regulatory principles? Krishna will definitely bestow upon you the liberation, is guaranteed, and you get connected with Lord Krishna. So I'm giving you the name Karunamayi Devi Dasi. We are offering the oblations, that whatever your vows are being oblation, I mean offered as oblations through the Virat formation of the Lord, that means this material cosmic manifestation, as well as there's our way out through spiritual lineage.